Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890-925 KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Wonderful Wellness Wednesday.
Was there a battle as to who had to talk first just now?
Just a little bit.
Some hand signals and pointing and stuff, and behind the scenes of Pathway.
That's right. We're so glad everyone could join us this beautiful Wednesday morning for Wellness Wednesday, where we take this opportunity to help educate and inform the community about how to be your best medical advocate and about issues and topics that are relevant to this community. We're glad you're here.
Yeah, we really are. It's exciting to come every week and get feedback from the community of things we say wrong and some of the information we provide.
You never do that, do you?
Never.
No, we haven't had anybody correct us in quite a while, so we're feeling pretty good.
I absolutely love that our community will come up to us and make comments about, oh, I heard you on the radio, and it sounds like you are a little congested. You must have been sick this week. Or
I heard you guys said ivermectin cures cancer. I heard you say that on the radio.
I didn't say that on the radio.
We said it may. We did say that it may.
It may
well,
help,
we
yeah.
said that we have links to studies
That's
that
right.
have been done by our own U.S. federal government.
That's right. The NIH, the National Institute of Health.
Yeah. PubMed.
So. Yeah. So if you want that information, you can call us and we'll get that for you.
Thanks for bringing that up again, Andy. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I aim to please.
We missed you last week.
Yeah, I got to stay at a beautiful resort called St. George Regional Hospital for a few days. So,
but, Intermountain Healthcare.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah.
So you really doubled up on that vacation because you were gone on a cruise just before that.
Yeah, well, I went to the hospital because of the cruise, kind of.
So. Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad you're back and
feeling
better.
It's good to be here.
Okay, well, we weren't planning on going down this road, but this is kind of an interesting point. You explained to me this morning that it was an infection that you had gotten because you had burned your feet.
Right.
And your wife had done a really good job of solving that burn, except that there was a burn under the callus, right?
Yeah, there was an infection, a burn under the callus. She didn't know about it. I didn't know. None of us knew about it. It wasn't until I was in the hospital and very, very sick with sepsis that the wound care people came in and said, oh, by the way, you have this. They did like an ultrasound and they said, you have this problem. And then they took their X-Acto knife and started cutting.
Oh, my goodness.
So as we age, obviously, our feet become more critical, and I think a lot of us already know that there are, you know, problems that come from our feet. You know, if you have diabetes, you start to lose sensation, so you don't notice the
neuropathy,
indicators that would probably help us alleviate some of these problems.
Truth is, even if you don't have diabetes, we just become a little less attuned and sensitive to things.
And honestly, health advice, maybe 20 years ago, if somebody said, really take care of your feet, I would have been like, come on. Yeah,
I know.
They're just feet.
It's true. It's
true. Now I know. Now I know.
And maybe the reality is it's the farthest appendage from your heart, right? So sometimes you miss things that can shoot blood clots, cause infections, and they can overwhelm your body very quickly, which is kind of one of the points that we're going to go over again today. You know, having somebody in your home regularly to do continuous checkups is so beneficial. It's, you know, we have eyes and experts on your case that meet with medical professionals at a minimum of every 14 days, and it really can be a benefit. We're constantly watching for those things that you may not otherwise notice, and that if you're only meeting with your doctor monthly, every 3 months, 6 months, annually, you really aren't going to see them until they're a really big issue or the hospital calls your primary care physician and says, hey, he's in the hospital.
Right.
Yeah.
So we wanted to start this show off with This Week in Hospice again, you know,
as
a recurring theme. Yeah. So we have really enjoyed being able to meet with so many families and have conversations about what hospice could be. And when we meet and have those conversations, I was kind of going through my mind, what are some of the common responses? And I've broken it down to there are 9 common statements that we hear. The first one is, why didn't I know about this before? Right? as
we're
as,
here every week trying to tell you.
Yeah. You know, as we're explaining, you know, how this program, palliative care and hospice, can be so enriching in lives, a lot of people just didn't realize that that was ever an opportunity. And so we have this opportunity here on the radio to talk about it. But what are some of the reasons why, you know, you haven't heard about it before? Because hospice is a hard conversation. It is not something that people want to talk about at on either side normally, right?
And don't you find that quite often people kick that can down the road thinking, that doesn't relate to me?
Yeah.
Or I already know what hospice is. Maybe I had a mother or father or an aunt or uncle, grandparent that had that experience. I know what it is. But I can guarantee you, you don't know what the new expanded palliative care program in Southern Utah is that Pathway brought, because it is the first and only one of its kind in Southern Utah. Now, here's the reality, though. It is covered by your Medicare benefit. It has been available and is available in 43 other states. We've just brought it to Southern Utah. Why it hasn't been here for the last 28 years, I have no idea. But it's here now, and you should find out more about it.
Right. And another reason that you may not have heard about it before is because your doctor doesn't know.
Yeah.
Again,
that's a big issue.
This is something that's entirely new, and most doctors have that same predefined definition for what hospice is.
Old school hospice. Yeah. I already know what it is, but you don't.
And so they're not necessarily talking about what the benefits can be because they're not aware of it. So those are some of the reasons. The second question, or the second statement that we get, is this sounds too good to be true. And that's a, you know, that's a common response.
That's what we've been taught. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is, right?
Right. What's the reasoning behind it? Who's getting ahead, and why is it being, you know, sold? If it's so good,
Pick me, I know the answer.
Yeah, well, so my dad actually said, you know, misery loves company, right? If it was really that good, nobody would be talking about it. They'd keep it to themselves.
Yeah.
But this is a little different. And so I'm going to ask the question. This sounds too good to be true. Go ahead.
Well, the interesting thing is most people, when they hear it, say it sounds too good to be true. But the reality is Medicare has done a lot of studies and research on this. And as we age, we tend to want to run to the quick care or the hospital when issues arise. We don't know how to deal with them, and we realize that our bodies are more fragile, and you know, we panic, we want to get on top of it quickly, so we end up in the emergency room. Well, hospitals do not have time to look over your 10 or 20 years of medical history
and become personally knowledgeable about your individual care.
Right. So they immediately start running battery of tests, right? Well, statistically, a four-hour stay in the hospital can cost Medicare upwards of $50,000. So the truth is, this isn't too good to be true. Medicare has a plan. They don't pay us anything near that to find the issues that might arise prior to you running to the hospital. We bring all the cares into your home, and it saves Medicare billions of dollars a year.
Right. So bringing care into the home instead of waiting for something to go terribly wrong and ending up in the hospital, okay, means that we address these things much sooner before they become, you know, terrible circumstances. So that makes it easier. We don't have the stress and anxiety and trauma of going through the whole hospital, you know, emergency room situation. We're not taking people out of their home and
I'm pointing to all the IV holes I have in my
arms. Yeah, he was just counting IV marks.
Seven, by the way.
And so those are kind of the things that are of interest that we really need to understand, is we can bring better care into the home because we're right there. We already know what the conditions are and what we can expect. Mm. And so we're ready to respond to those without having to go through a long process, and we get there sooner. And it costs Medicare a lot less money because we can do that at a much lower rate than a hospital process does. So it all makes sense. So better care, faster, at less cost. And that's why. It's not too good to be true. It's just really good. So that's part of it. And then the third statement we get often is, okay, how do we get started? And we love that, right? All three of these are positive responses. They are, you know, people who understand what the potential is for themselves, and they get excited about it. So when we get those responses for us, that means we get to be part of great things in people's lives. We really do. We get to now become cruise directors. I'll use that reference for you, Andy. And we get to provide a smorgasbord of options for the family and the patient to choose from, right? We can provide support in a lot of different areas. We get to relieve some burdens for the caregiver. Those are all great things. But not all things are, not all the responses we get are that positive. There are other things that we have to overcome in some of our conversations. So we wanted to share with you some of the other responses, which may be a little less positive. We might even call them objections.
Well, there are a number of objections. Before we get right into that, because those are all clumped together, people should understand that as a beneficiary to Medicare, Medicaid, and most major insurances, your hospice benefit is one benefit that never expires. And I go back to, again, it's because it is saving your insurance companies, regardless of who your insurance company is, millions of dollars a year. And so it never expires. So although you may have heard this 6 month, which is a misunderstanding or a term used out of context with regards to how long your benefit lasts, it never expires. So why wait? Take advantage of it sooner rather than later, and take advantage of it for as long as you can, because the amount of help that'll come into your home just really can't be explained on the radio. You have to hear how it can help you as an individual, not only in your home, but also in facilities. I don't think people realize that. And then we get into the not so.
Right. And that's actually kind of where these responses come from, is people thinking that somehow they need to postpone it, or, it's some level of discomfort for them. We get statements like, well, that sounds really good, but not right now. We're doing okay, right?
The heroic, response, the guilt that we take upon ourselves that it should be our responsibility. We, have to take care of our wife, or it's our obligation to take care of our family. But you're still caring for them. Let somebody help you lift that burden and make your life easier. You'll be able to give better care for a longer period of time if you let somebody come in and help.
Right. Or they might say, oh, I don't need any help. Well, you might be able to say, yes, I can do this on my own right now. I don't need anybody else in order to continue the way I'm going. But that's not really our goal here. Our goal is not to have everybody exhaust themselves just to prove a point. So we would encourage you to consider help, even if it's a little uncomfortable. I think most of us have been offered help, and we've all said, "Oh no, no, I'm fine. I'll get it. No problem. You don't have to bother."
We don't want people coming into our houses.
That's another one. We get, well, we don't. Right now is not a good time. We don't want a bunch of people coming in and disrupting what we're doing or whatever else. And those are the objections that we have to really consider and come up with ways to overcome, because we're not showing up as guests to just sit there and talk and have you make, bread so that we can have something to eat. That is not the goal. But I think everybody can use that help. So we completely understand that there are some circumstances here that we have to consider. We're probably having this conversation at maybe the worst time possible for people. Mm-hmm. They are struggling. It's the hardest time they've ever had, just trying to make it through the day and accomplish small things for the other person in their life. And that's a hard thing to do.
Or deal with a new diagnosis. Nobody likes change. It's really hard to accept what you're hearing and to digest what it is that your doctors or, providers are trying to say to you. I can't express enough how often I hear people say, well, I don't think my mom's that sick, yet they've been told that they're not eligible for a surgery, or they're not going to provide that orthopedic care that you expected, or your neurologist is going to look at you 3 months from now or 6 months from now, and you're thinking, well, that's a sign that they feel like they can put it off. But the truth is, that can also be a sign that there's nothing they can do. So they're just going to check status quo at a later date. That doesn't help anybody. You need to listen to what is being told, and remember, help is good. It helps you have time to just be the loving family member. And you are an integral part of all the decisions and about integral part of the care. You make all the decisions of who, what, where, when, and how, and why. So you never give up that power or responsibility to make choices of your own.
Right. We understand that when someone is less able to take care of themselves, it creates a lot more work, a lot more worry, a lot more stress and anxiety for the family and the caregiver to resolve. And it can be so overwhelming that it seems like it'd be just too much to even consider doing anything else other than what I've set my mind to doing. But we want you to know that our goals have three parts. Okay, the first part is our goal is to lift some of that burden, you know, to remove that. And we can bring people in to do that. We may have been managing our daily life pretty well, and now that we're managing two daily lives on our own, it's now become overwhelming. But if we can find some things that we can do that you would normally want to get done that you might not, and we can pull that off the table for you so that you can spend more of your efforts and concentration on things that are more important to you and to your loved one, then we'd like to do that.
And if you stop feeling the guilt that it's all upon you, and you realize that the patient or the person that was diagnosed with a disease, they don't want to see you struggle either. They don't want to feel like they are a burden on you. So if you let somebody else pick up some of that strain, they too can enjoy you as their caregiver more. It's a two-way street. It's mutual benefit.
Yeah, because the love that you receive from somebody is not the amount of work that they did away from you, right? It's not the fact that they were able to keep the garage cleared out when you're, you know, struggling in bed. That really doesn't make any difference. But if that's something that needs to get taken care of, then let's see if we can put that off on somebody who can handle that and allow you to be back doing the more important, loving, caring, and things that do some real good in life.
And as we know, there is a nationwide nursing shortage, and we are suffering the nursing shortage here in southern Utah as well, throughout all of Utah. So if your loved one happens to be in a facility, remember, we can come in and be that one-on-one attention, give that one-on-one attention directly to your family member and report back to you when you can't be there. What a great blessing that is. Then it's not up to you to be there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can have someone else coming in, gathering information, and reporting to you how your loved one is being cared for. But also, they are able to come in, and they are only there for your family member. Where if you are in a facility, those nurses are, you know, they're assigned, 20, 30 patients on a shift? But to have somebody come in just for your loved one and pay that special attention to them, discussing their needs, their hopes, their wants and desires, even if it's just visiting with them, playing card games with them, looking at pictures with them, talking family stories or sharing insight with them, it's just, they are there, our caregivers are there just for your loved one. Why would you want to put that off?
And because we're there, we get to adjust that care to be most effective. It's not. Yes, everybody gets the same thing here, and we do a lot of whatever it is. It's we provide the things that are going to be most important for that one person, and it can be different. It can be somebody who just shows up to talk to them and to share experiences, or just read to them, or just. But we're not saying we're going to send somebody to read to everybody.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense at all. But if reading time was the only thing that we offered on our cruise ship, that isn't necessarily the best cruise. It's the opportunity and options that you have, that, you know, the different things that you can do that somebody else may not want. But ultimately, in that facility, not only are you getting everything the facility provides, but you're getting extra and special care on it in addition to that. So goal number two for us is to bring resources to the table that can make life better. So that's goal number two. And goal number three is that you stay in control. And I think that's one of the things that some people are a little bit concerned about, is that they're afraid of giving up control, that somehow somebody else is going to come in and start making decisions. And we want you to know that for us, that was a concern that we had seen in other circumstances and has always been a primary driving goal for us, is that the patient and the family stays in control of all the decision-making. We come in and offer options. We come in and explain what can be done and find what may work for you, but you're the one who gets to decide which of those is most appropriate and most effective for you. And you get to change that over time. You can, you know, we'll constantly have that conversation about what you want to do next.
And a lot of that giving up control has to do with the belief that you stop everything. Well, we want you to know that Pathway is a huge proponent of continuing to provide therapies that are going to bring you a higher quality of life. And statistically, even on Medicare's website, it shows that a truly expanded palliative program has proven to extend life and not hasten death.
And enhance life.
Absolutely. So it is not something to be feared. Just this week, I had a patient comment that their doctor said, "You give everything up." And I thought that was so peculiar. Truly, this doctor has never had an education in what a good hospice and palliative program is. Because anyone who has experienced would say to you, no, you do not give up in hospice. In fact, it gives you a better, higher quality of life for as long as you can live. And you do not have to walk away from every therapy.
So For me, the takeaway that I'm hoping everybody gets from this conversation is this statement: caring is better as a team effort.
Oh yeah.
You know, doing it alone.
Accomplish more as a team camp.
Yeah, I mean, while we imagine that you know, taking on that burden alone is what we're obligated to do, that, you know, we're in this all by ourselves, that just isn't the right perspective. That's not the right position to be in. It doesn't show more love when you're struggling to exhaustion every day. That's not a demonstration of your love. It doesn't make the time more meaningful if you're toiling over things that distract you from giving love and sharing memories. In fact, no matter how hard you work, it may not grant us any more time in the future to have meaningful opportunity. So we would hope that you will allow us to come in, shoulder some of the burden that would otherwise distract you from being the loving partner, the loving child or parent, and being able to focus more of your efforts on those things that are going to be more important long term, building those memories and having that opportunity to deal with the circumstances that you're in instead of dealing with other things. So we really hope that that's the case. So that we have three other responses that we've commonly gotten. Oh no, we're not ready for hospice. That's a common response. And I think we can all imagine why people are saying that, right? We don't want to give up. We hear that often. Mm-hmm. We want you to know that that's exactly not what we want you to do. We want you to have the strength and the ability to do all that you can. That's really important. And then, I'm not ready to die. And hospice for us should not be about dying. That's right.
We want you to live the best life you can for as long as you can live.
We really do. And so those are the responses that we get, and we try and address those, but it's still based upon other people. So we'd love to hear from you. And today,
remember,
give us a call.
If you don't think you need us, that's okay. Give our office a call to find out what resources are available to your loved one. Find out sooner rather than later.
And then number 435-477-6999. And if you don't have anything to write it down with, just remember that it's 477 on the left and 6999 on the right. And it'll be easy for you to call us anytime. We would love to get a call from you today. And tell us what your input on this topic is. We'd really like to hear it. It's been been a great opportunity to be here in Southern Utah and share our experiences, and we appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you for sharing your morning with us.